So, the question, as Will said today earlier, is Christianity really for everyone? There are 8 billion people in the world today. Only 1/3 of them call themselves Christians. That means there are 6 billion people who do not identify as followers of Jesus. Is Christianity for them too? Think of Muhammad, your Muslim colleague, or Vikram, your Hindu colleague, or Steve, your atheist boss. Does the Christian message apply to them too? Maybe we should just let them worship their own gods and keep our God to ourselves. You yourself may have grown up in a non-Christian home. Well, it's the good news of Jesus Christ for you too. Or should you keep it at arm's length because it isn't for you? Well, this was a question in the minds of the original readers of Exodus as well. Standing on the edge of the promised land, they were about to enter a land where the people did not worship the same God as them. And these local people worshipped a host of different gods. And so their question was, did God's good news of salvation, God had just rescued his own people, Israel, from Egypt, did this good news of salvation extend to these idol-worshipping nations as well? Or was it exclusively for the people of Israel? Well, today's passage tells us what the answer is. There are two headings in our talk today. So number one is God's good news of salvation is for everyone. God's good news of salvation is for everyone. And that's verses 1 to 9. So the big point of these verses is that God's good news of salvation is for everyone. Jethro was the father-in-law of Moses. Earlier on in Exodus, he married off his daughter to Moses after Moses rescued her from her enemies. Notice how the text says that Jethro was the priest of Midian. Verse 1, Jethro, the priest of Midian. Jethro was the religious head of a people that did not worship the God of Israel. He would have led the people in worship of the Midianite gods. He would have brought offerings and sacrifices to these gods. And the book of Genesis tells us about the Midianite people. They were the descendants of Abraham's concubine, Keturah. So they were not from the line of Isaac. They were not part of God's chosen people. They worshipped false gods. They did not serve Yahweh, the Lord, the God of Israel. And yet, this priest of Midian, this pagan priest, has heard some very important news. It is so important that he decides to bring his daughter and his grandsons all the way across the desert to Mount Sinai in order to hear more about this news. He wanted to hear more about this news from Moses because he was an eyewitness of what the Lord had done to Israel. What is this news? Well, verse 1 tells us, it is the news of the Lord's rescue of his people from their enemies, from Egypt. He has brought them out of Egypt and brought them to Mount Sinai. The name of Moses' two sons are really interesting, aren't they? The first son, Gershom, I have been a sojourner in a foreign land. And then his second son, Eliezer, means the God of my father was my help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. These two names describe Moses' own life. Moses was first a sojourner in Midian after fleeing from Israel, from Egypt, sorry. And then the Lord delivered him from the sword of Pharaoh back in Exodus chapter 2. Because Moses had killed an Egyptian, he had to flee from Egypt. And so the Lord rescued him and brought him to the land of Midian. But these two names not only reflect Moses' own experiences, they also describe what the Lord has done to Israel. The Israelites were sojourners in Egypt, but the God of their fathers has now delivered them from the sword of Pharaoh. He has rescued them from the Egyptians and brought them to the land of to Mount Sinai. And so these names would have reminded Jethro and the pagan Midianites that the God of Israel has saved Moses' life. And now Jethro has heard that the Lord has not only saved the life of Moses, but he has also saved the life of the Israelites. And so he comes to Moses at Mount Sinai to find out more. And Moses then shares with Jethro all that the Lord has done. Verse 8 says, "Then Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, all the hardship that had come upon them in the way, and how the Lord had delivered them." And so you can imagine Moses telling the story of the 10 plagues, of the Exodus, and the parting of the Red Sea with great delight. What an extraordinary story to tell. This amazing rescue, this demonstration of God's mighty power in defeating the Egyptians, in saving his people. And then Moses carries on. He brings the story up to date. He explains how the Lord has delivered his people several times in the wilderness, how he has provided bread and water to his grumbling people time after time. And so after this epic rescue, no wonder Jethro rejoices in this news in verse 9. He says, "He rejoiced for all the good that the Lord had done to Israel, in that he had delivered them out of the hand of the Egyptians." So what we see from these verses is that God's good news of salvation is not just for the people of Israel. It is for everyone. It is for Jethro, the Midianite priest. It is for the whole nation of the Midianites. Jethro represents the idol-worshipping nations of the ancient world. God's good news of salvation is for them as well. They too need to hear about the Lord who rescues his people from their enemies. Thinking back to a few years ago, when the 12 Thai boys and their football coach were rescued from the cave in Thailand, the whole world celebrated their rescue. This good news was for everyone. It didn't matter who you were or where you were from. This was a great rescue to be celebrated. 12 boys and their coach on the edge of death, rescued by the divers, brought to life, brought to safety, reunited with their families. What a great event to be celebrated. Well, as Christians, we have an even greater rescue to celebrate. God has rescued us from sin and death through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this good news is for everyone. It is not just for a select few. This good news of salvation is for people from all over the world. I actually spoke to an Indian guy on Monday. He was a Hindu. He does not believe in the God of Israel. He believes in many gods. Well, is the good news of salvation for him as well? Well, yes, of course it is. God's good news of rescue is to be proclaimed to people from every tribe, nation, tribe, and tongue. And that includes people from agnostic, from atheist, Buddhist, Hindu, Jewish, Muslim, Sikh, and all other religions. They too need to hear that the God of Israel has performed an even greater rescue than the one in Exodus. He has saved his people from sin and death. Praise God. So we've seen that God's good news of salvation is for everyone. But what is the purpose of people hearing this news? Well, in verse 10 to 12, we are told what the purpose is. And that's our second point. So that they may worship the Lord as the one true God. God wants people to hear the news and to respond by worshipping him as the one true God. Let's look at verse 10. After hearing about God's good news of salvation, what does Jethro do? He bursts out in praise. Blessed be the Lord, who has delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, and has delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Jethro is so excited that he mentions the defeat of the Egyptians three times in the same sentence. The Lord's victory is complete, it is comprehensive, it is thorough. His rescue is dramatic. The entire Egyptian army, thousands of horses and chariots, and even their leader, the Pharaoh himself, lie dead at the bottom of the Red Sea. And so no wonder Jethro is full of praise and worship for the Lord, the mighty deliverer. But his worship of the Lord doesn't end at there. He carries on in verse 11. He says, "Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods, because in this affair they dealt arrogantly with the people." So Jethro acknowledges here that the Lord, the God of Israel, is greater than all other gods. He is the one true God, the living God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the savior of his people and destroyer of his enemies. He is greater than the gods of Egypt and the gods of Midian. He alone is the supreme king of the universe. But Jethro doesn't just stop there. He doesn't just praise God with words. He actually worships him in deed as well. He offers sacrifices to him. Verse 12, "And Jethro brought a burnt offering and sacrifices to God. And Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God." And so we see here that Jethro worships the Lord in both word and in deed. He praises him and he offers sacrifices to him. And then he eats with the elders of Israel, which signifies fellowship with them. He wants to identify himself with the people of God. He has accepted God's good news of salvation for himself. He has become an adopted member of God's chosen people, even though he's a Midianite. He now worships Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He has been reunited with the people of God in worship of the true God. And this is in such stark contrast to another group of people. If we had read chapter 17 as well, we would find out about the Amalekites. These were another pagan nation. They worshipped idols like the Midianites. But instead of coming to Israel in worship of the Lord, what do? They come and they fight with Israel at Rephidim. But they were defeated by Israel. So it was so foolish of them to stand against the people of God, having heard that God had defeated the Egyptians. Instead of coming to worship the Lord, they came to fight against his people. And what about the Israelites themselves? Well, they had worshipped the Lord back in chapter 15. They sang to him after his amazing rescue at the Red Sea. But since then, they've been complaining about the Lord, grumbling against him and wanting to go back to Egypt. So Jethro's enthusiastic worship of the Lord in this chapter really puts them to shame. Well, coming back to our opening question, is Christianity for everyone? Well, today's passage tells us the answer really clearly, doesn't it? Yes, it is for everyone. Jephro's story teaches us that God's good news of salvation is for all people. And the purpose is so that they may worship him as the one true God. And of course, the same is not true of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This message of salvation is for everyone around the world. Whatever people group you are part of, whatever religion you belong to, this message is for you. Know that God has rescued his people through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is an even greater rescue than the one that Israel experienced in Exodus. And the purpose of the rescue we have in Jesus is so that all of us may worship God and his son, Jesus Christ. Well, if we are Christians already, which I think is all of us, or most of us, that let's not exclude anyone from this message. Let's share it with people, everyone around us. I think it can be tempting, can't it, to exclude certain people. I sometimes do it in my own head. I think, oh, well, there's no way these people would believe. They come from this or that background. Going back to my opening examples, think of your Muslim colleague, think of your Hindu colleagues or your atheist boss. Is God's good news of salvation really for them? How would they, are they going to believe? But remember this, Jephro was the last person on earth to worship the Lord. He was the priest of Midian. Just think, the Ayatollah of Iran or the high priest of Hinduism. And yet, when Jephro heard God's good news of salvation, he believes in this message. He worships the Lord enthusiastically. And so the same will be true today. As people from all backgrounds, all religions, hear the good news of Jesus Christ, they too will bow down in worship of God. They too will surrender to Jesus Christ as Lord. And indeed, right now, all over the world, you do have Hindu priests, Muslim imams, even atheistic professors turning to Christ. Christianity really is for everyone. God's great plan is for the whole world to worship him as the one true God and his son Jesus Christ as Lord. And so if we already worship God, let's proclaim this wonderful news of salvation to our friends, our colleagues, and even just strangers on the street, so that they too may join us in worshiping God. If you don't yet trust in Jesus Christ as Lord, well, let me appeal to you. Join us, worship him. He is the mighty Savior God who rescues his people from their enemies. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this passage. Thank you that this good news of salvation really is for everyone. Whatever their background, whatever their religion, whatever their past, thank you, Father, that as we hear this good news, we can accept it and we can become your people and worship you as the one true God and your Son, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior. So, Father, we pray that for those of us who trust in Jesus Christ already, help us to really believe this. Help us not to exclude certain people from this message. Help us to be bold in proclaiming it to everyone. And for those of us who aren't yet Christians, we pray, Father, that you would help us to find out more about what you have achieved through your Son on the cross and at the resurrection. Help us to see that this really is the greatest news in the world. Help us to rejoice in it, to praise you for it, and to worship you and your Son. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. I took it to mean, because Pharaoh and the Egyptians dealt arrogantly with Israel, but then they were ultimately defeated by God. I think none of us were alive when Jesus, died and rose. But the disciples were, weren't they? And they recorded these events in, the New Testament. And so that, I think that's where we go to. We go to the New Testament and say, yeah, these guys were eyewitnesses of Jesus's life, death, and resurrection. And so, yeah, these are, you know, why don't you, yeah, this is where we build our confidence on. Yeah, so, you know, examine the eyewitness evidence. Yeah, and this, you know, this is proof that Jesus really is Lord. Yeah, I found it really striking that, like, even in this chapter in Exodus, like in the Old Testament, we already see that, you know, God wants people from the nations to come and worship him. So it's not just, you know, an exclusive message just for one group of people, but yeah, it's for this Midianite priest. He worships idols. Yeah, he gets accepted. And,